Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Worthy is our God. Worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. Oh God, worthy is our Lord. We made it. We made it to 2022. You're supposed to be dead in somebody's casket. But the Lord, but God, spared your life for a time such as right now. Come on, real church. Worthy is our Lord. Oh, he's so worthy. He's so worthy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to get into this message, but yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Another year, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Is there anybody else? Soul says yes. Help me sing this song. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart through the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Come on, somebody. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on, one more time. Yes, Lord. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on, if you're tuning in, come on, somebody say yes. Bring them into your home. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah! Yes, Lord. 2022. Come on. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Huh. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. We came in here to have some church. I know the old folks meant now when they said unto me, let us go into the house. Now I know what that means. I would rather be in this house. I'm bored being in my house. I don't know about y'all. I'm bored. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. 2022. I am so excited. I am so excited. Hallelujah. Father, have your way. Philippians chapter 4, chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Amen. When you have that, just say amen. 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 And if you're still looking for it, just say amen. All right, we'll wait. We'll wait for you. I want you to get this, because what's in this word today is going to change your life forever. This will be the best year of your life. And I know you've heard pastors, leaders say that before, but every year should be the best year of your life. But I'm telling you, this year will be the best year of your life. Amen. In this word, and I'm just going to let God do his thing. Amen. The Bible reads, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. You follow me? For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. That's what I seek. Amen. But I have received everything in full and have in an abundance. I am amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God, this is the charge here, and my God will supply all your needs, hallelujah, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If we are merely spectators in our faith, we will miss out. If you're just a spectator, yo, if you just want to just watch, you're going to miss out. But if we are devout participants, we are involved, we will receive wealth unimaginable. Today, I want to show you why this will be the best year of your life. Let us pray. Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, Father, I need you to have your will and your way right now, God. You put it in me, and I don't want to be subject to no lines, no outlines, no bounds. I don't want to be limited. I want you to have your way, Father. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, hide me behind the cross. I'll go. I'm your servant. I just want to feed your people what you told me. So have your way. Have your will. Do what you want to do in this house. And I pray that you would bless everyone that hears the sound of my voice. Touch their hearts right now and their minds. I pray for those, oh God, that are out sick right now. Hallelujah. We might be sick, but we saved. Hallelujah. That sickness may be on you, but if it stays on you, it has to get saved. That's the only way it can stay on. Otherwise, it's got to fall off. God, we thank you for what you're about to do in making this the best year of our lives. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You may be seated. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Paul, hallelujah, a disciple of the apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the apostle. Hallelujah. He didn't come to us as an apostle. He was a devout Jew.
That's right.
He was a devout Jew, and he was someone that pushed the law of the Mosaic laws. He pushed it. He taught it. He encouraged it. And when the Christian faith began to grow and start showing growth, he put a bounty on this young religion. This religion was growing. This relationship with Jesus was growing, and he put a bounty. The bounty was to kill Christians, to stone them to death, to lock them up, to bound them. This was his walk. And when he heard that there was more council and there was more meetings going on, he sent the bounty up. He himself was on his way to put them in handcuffs, to stone them, to kill Christians. And a light shined. A light shined from heaven, knocking him off his route. And he heard a voice from the Lord. And that voice from the Lord changed his direction. Where were you? Where were you when the light flashed? Where were you when the voice of God changed your route? Were you on your way to do some nonsense? Were you on your way for a good time? And that light flashed? Were you on your way for something in your life that is a continued cycle? But that light knocked you off? The voice of God changed your route? Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in the room that is going into 2022 remembering that the Lord saved you from a life of sin, that you should be dead and gone, but if it wasn't for the light, you would still be going on your way, killing yourself or somebody else? Hallelujah. This light knocked him off, and the word of God changed his route, and he became as devout as he was for the Jewish religion. He was devout for Jesus Christ. Oh my God. He went from destroying and killing lives to changing and saving them. Can you imagine? God, how God can take the passion inside of you and switch it? You're doing it to kill people, and God is giving it to you so you can heal people. You can set people free. Come on, 2022. Hallelujah. This is what's going on. And Paul has changed his life. And I love it because in this text, Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He's writing to them and he's explaining to them. Well, he's writing for them from a prison.
Yes.
He's writing from a prison. And in this text, he's explaining. Give me some water. Boy, I'm going. In this text, he's in prison.
Yes.
And he's explaining to them. Thank you, sir. He's explaining to them that while I'm in prison, I'm good. I know y'all like, man, what you writing? No, you're supposed to be writing y'all. Listen. They supposed to be writing him. He writing them. And he's like, look, I'm straight. I've learned how to abound. Right? When I don't have much. I know how to be filled up when I'm hungry. Oh, I know how to be content. In this text, he's explaining that. Come on, somebody. How many of us know how to make a dinner? Come on, out of a couple breads and some cheese and an iron board and a piece of... Come on, if there's some folks in here that knows how to make a three-course meal out of peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I don't got no folks that's been through nothing in this place. I know. Listen. I know how to survive through the hard times. Come on. Come on, somebody. I know how to abase and abound. Come on. And he's explaining this. Come on. He's explaining this to the Philippians like, I'm straight. I'm good. Hallelujah. Now he's spreading the gospel, risking his life for the gospel. And he's talking to the Philippian church. Philippi is a colony. It's like a city. It's a colony. And what's so good about Philippi in 41 to 32, I believe, B.C., it became its own residence because of a civil war. And most Roman soldiers would flee to this spot. It was like Florida. It was like when you retire, you go down to Florida. Why? Because ain't no taxes. And this spot had the Roman culture or laws, but no taxes. But no taxes. And so Paul is writing them and saying, listen, I know you guys are worried about me, but I'm good. I'm straight. I got it going on. I'm safe because, again, I know the secrets. I know the secret of making sure that I'm good and I'm content. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. And I'm good, Paul, that you're content. And I'm cool that you know how to abase and abound. I'm good with all of that. But how many of us would love to be in a situation when you put 100% out, somebody else is putting 100% back into you? I would love to be in a relationship that when I'm putting into you, you putting back into me. Come on. Like I'm putting all my time in your vision. Why don't you put some time in my vision? Come on. Come on. I wish I had somebody that would love on me the way I love on them. Give me 100%. I understand it's good to be content, but I need somebody to participate. Come on, somebody. Somebody that's willing to be in. Participate. Come on, somebody. And we as believers, the way we participate by supplying. Yeah, we supply our talents, our resources, we supply our time, That's what we do. We're not spectators.
That's right.
We're participants.
Yeah.
And we participate by supplying. Yeah. Come on, family. We participate by
supplying.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But we can get involved. Or how many of us have gotten mixed up with spectators? Come on, somebody. Somebody that ain't trying to get involved. My wife and I was talking about this the other day. You know, you want to be real careful with people who are compassionate or passionate and charismatic. Because you can confuse these individuals as friends. And you like, they got my back, man. They got me. But a lesson to know this is when you start a party, see if they're there to help you start it. And if you starting something, when you end it, see if they stick around to help you clean up.
That's right.
Don't get confused by individuals that are passionate or charismatic.
Yeah.
Right? Because these individuals hold titles.
Yeah. That's good.
Come on, come on. They hold titles, but no evidence. Come on, somebody. Stay with me. They hold titles, but no evidence. See, I've been saved for 35 years, but no evidence. Been married for 25 years. No evidence. I ain't getting nobody laughing yet, but it's going to come. I've been telling everybody I work out. I'm in the gym, but no evidence. Come on, somebody. You hold the title, but there's no evidence. See, these individuals would rather be retainers than suppliers. Spectators, instead of participators. And I had to look at this and I said, Lord, why is this? Why would people rather retain and spectate than be a part of something, especially when it's real? Why would they do this? And the Lord showed me two things. One reason is because individuals have gotten hurt and bamboozled and done wrong. Somebody did you dirty. Somebody did you wrong, bamboozled you, tricked you. They messed you over. And you said, you know what? I'm not going to get too close no more. Because the last time I got too close to them, they hurt me. And so I'm good. I'm good on you. I'm not going to do that. And the second one is because individuals trying to get rich. You're not trying to get involved. You're just trying to retain everything. You're trying to hold on to it. You don't want to supply. You don't want to give, because if you give, you think you lose it. The Bible says in Psalms 23:3, it says, labor not to be rich. Lean not to your own understanding, for your riches will surely gain wings and fly away. You think, don't lean to your own understanding. That's not how you make money. You make money by supplying. If you want to be rich, you got to give. Come on, let me, hallelujah, you glory Christ. Supply and demand. Listen, if I'm, it's supply and demand. Oh, let me talk to you. Being married to my wife, oh, she gives me the demand, but I give her the supply. Watch this. Come on, folk. Keep your mind out the gutter. Come on, folk. When I tell my wife two times a day, I love you. And then the next day, it's like she has had amnesia. Baby, do you love me? So then all of a sudden, because the demand now has heightened, now I do it 3 times a day. And then my wife says, baby, do you love me? And the demand becomes higher. Understand? Now I have to supply more. You understand? You follow me. Okay, they don't got it yet. Now my marriage has more wealth in it because now I'm sowing in it and it's creating the demand for my supply. You understand what I'm saying? Same thing happens when you're in the gym. Uh-oh. They don't like it when I bring out working out. But listen, we have to be a fit church because we must be fit for the master's use.
Yeah.
Amen? So when I go to the gym, right, and I go and work out, what happens is The body demands more.
That's right.
You're like, I ain't going back there because you got sore. I ain't going back. But no, the body is saying, I need more. So when you give it more, you get more in shape. And then you go more, and then you have more energy. You're stronger. You're faster. So now my health is my wealth. My wealth becomes my health. You see how it works? When you give, it happens in finances. Same thing with supply and demand. You give into your finances will give back into. I don't know. Listen, I don't know a millionaire. I know millionaires. Don't get it twisted. I don't know a millionaire that has a savings account. Their money is invested in things to make them more money. They're supplying their money to create more demand, which creates more supply. Come on, somebody. This is why the Bible says, give, and it shall be given you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men pour into your bosom. Shall one another, shall men pour into your bosom. Amen? That's the principle. Give. Give. And this is what's going on with these, with people who are retaining. These individuals don't understand. They're leaning onto their own understanding. Hallelujah. But I declare to this ministry. See, I don't know what's going on with other people's minds.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going into this year thinking about.
Right.
But I declare and decree that this church right here will not lack financially, physically, spiritually, or emotionally. You will have everything that the Lord has for you this year. You follow me? Hallelujah. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. But Paul wasn't talking about you. He was talking to the Philippians. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. See, the Philippians gave to Paul when nobody else did. Come on. Nobody else gave to Paul. Paul traveled on three journeys, right? They said that he saw 40 cities. 40 cities he visited. And it took him approximately 10,000 miles to be able to get, in duration of 10,000 miles, it took him to get to all these places. I think they said calculating something like 291 days of travel. And Philippi was the only church that gave. Come on. How many of us have ever been in a situation where God has given you something in your belly and everybody doubted you? You lost friends over it. It was your passion. It was your dream. God put it there. You didn't put it there. You didn't put that thing there. God put it there. And everybody said, you stupid. When are you going to get a job? Why are you starting that? Why'd you get involved with them? Do you know what's going on? And God put that thing in your heart and you had the doubters.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. And I don't know if this happened to any of you all, but maybe one person believed in you.
Yeah.
One person stepped in. One person was all in and they supplied you. They weren't a spectator. They participated.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Who am I talking to?
Yeah.
It only takes one.
Yeah.
One yes. One ear.
Yeah.
One supply. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All it takes is one yes. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're ready to give up. But all God has to do is say one word and it will change the whole thing. Come on, somebody. God is all in if you all in. I remember my wife and I some years ago, our baby's only three. Hallelujah. This was some months ago.
Right.
Our son would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning manipulating my wife and I, begging for milk, right? And I'm like, baby, he got to go. He got to get out of here. We got to get him out of here. I don't care. Do whatever you do. Put him somewhere. But get him out of here, right? Hallelujah. Come on. Those with kids know what I'm talking about. And my wife says, okay, we're going to put him in the crib with his sister because our daughter has her own room. So I was like, excellent. So we put him in there, and at two in the morning, sure enough, he wakes up. But he, to his surprise, he wakes up in a foreign place. And he's screaming and yelling, and it's foreign. He's caged up. We got him in the crib. You ain't in the bed, buddy. You in the crib, caged up. And he's crying, and we can see him on the kitty cam. And our daughter, Haven, just a year older, she sees it, and she jumps all in. She goes into the crib with him, grabs his bottle, and she soothes him with the bottle. He goes back to sleep. The issue here is, though, my daughter did not know how to get out the cage. Come on, somebody. She didn't know how to get out. She know how to get in, but she didn't know how to get out. She wasn't getting out. Come on, somebody. We have a God that gets in, but he doesn't come out. Come on, somebody. Come on. I wish I had somebody. Listen, he gives gifts without repentance. He's not going to take it from you, and he's not going to come out of that situation. He is there to stay. My daughter had the inside scoop, family. My daughter had the inside scoop because she could relax because she knew Daddy was coming for her in the morning. That's why weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. But Paul wasn't talking about y'all. He was talking to the Philippians. See, Paul explains that the Philippians, while he was on his trip, he only visited the Philippians on his second trip. They were given to him consistently. They continued to give to him. They didn't give to him one time. They were consistent. Could you imagine what your marriage would be like if you was consistent? I know the married couples can't say nothing because you hear what the pastor's saying. Could you imagine what your fitness life would look like if you were consistent? Imagine your prayer life. Imagine your faith walk if you were consistent. Imagine if the men, the deadbeat dads in those communities, were consistently in those communities. Imagine what those communities would be. Man, I wish I had somebody that loved the Lord. If they were consistent. But we live in a culture that everything is so hard. Go sit down somewhere. Man, I got to go hard, dog. I got to go hard. I got to go work hard. I got to work hard. I got to get this money. I got to get this money, dog. I got to work hard. Sit down. Everything is so hard. And think about it. When we, hey, man, you want to make some money? You got to work hard. You go in the gym, you got to work. You got to lift and work. Work hard, right? When you get married, it's like, baby, I gotta love you. I gotta love you hard, baby. I loved you hard 3 weeks ago. You think your wife cared about you 3 weeks ago? She wants consistency. Consistency. That's the only way you're gonna build anything anyway. Consistency. And they were consistent. That's why I always believe in the method, consistency over intensity. Oh, I believe in that philosophy. Consistency over intensity. We play around with this at the gym all the time. Are there anybody that plans to work out after this message? Just me? Okay. Amen. We got some Muslims in the back. Amen. We're going to convert them over to Christianity fitness. Amen. Right? So if I took somebody, and I'm just going to, I'm a Elder Ice is here. She works out at our gym. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If I took Elder Isaiah here, we don't believe in the philosophy of really making you sore. We don't want to make you sore because if we, she don't have me as a trainer. Our philosophy is not to make you sore. That's not our goal, because causing you to be sore will put in your mind, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too much pain. So we don't want to inflict pain on you. Our goal is to try to force you to love it so it can be something that you come back to every day. We don't want to burn you out. We want to make sure you're consistent. So for an example, if your max is 10 push-ups, you come in, 10 push-ups. You can only do 10 push-ups. Forgive me for saying this. If we put up something dangerous up to your head and said, listen, do one more, and you can't do it. 10 push-ups is your max. You can't do 11. Then I wouldn't train you to do 10 push-ups. I would train you in 5 push-ups. Give me 5 push-ups. Give me 5 push-ups. Because if we did 10 push-ups, you probably could only do 10 push-ups twice a week. That's 20 push-ups. But if I told you to do 5 push-ups, I want you to do 5 push-ups every day until you get to 6. Until 6 gets easy. And then we'll go up. So if I had you do 5 push-ups every day, then that's 35 push-ups. Right? So 35 push-ups versus 20 push-ups. You've done more push-ups in a week than trying to kill yourself with the 10. That's 780 more push-ups a year. You've done way more push-ups than the individual that's trying to kill themselves. Come on, somebody. This is what it's about. This is about being consistent over intensity. Come on, somebody. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But Paul wasn't talking about y'all. I can't even get an amen. He was talking to the Philippians. He was talking to the Philippians because he says that they gave when there was no demand. He didn't ask them. There was no demand for it, and they gave. Can I just teach for a quick second? In the Mosaic laws, there was a demand, a requirement to give. You were taxed a tithe. You were taxed that. And in this time, it was agricultural. So you had to give animals and crops and fruit and wine and oil. It was agricultural. And if you had the nerve to try to give monetary, you had to pay an extra fifth, which is 20% tagged on to the tithe. Well, I'm glad we don't have to give like that. That's crazy, right? That was the demand, the restriction of the law. When I did my studies, you learned that a tither in that day gave annually 23%. They had multiple tithing. You had to tithe every third year. You had to tithe to the widow, to the poor, and to the strangers. This was the demand. This was the requirement. This was the law. But I'm so thankful that when Jesus died on the cross, we were no longer subject to the Mosaic laws. That means that we can give from our heart. We can give freely. This is why the Bible says give. This is why the Bible says if you give sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. And if you give bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Give according to what's on your heart. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Come on. Listen, the law of the Mosaic law is a standard. That's a law. That's a standard. But in Hebrews, it says that we have such a greater covenant. Wouldn't you want to give more because there's no requirement, no demand? What's required of you is what God placed on your heart. That's what we give. And that's what the Philippians did. They gave from their heart. There was no demand. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. But he wasn't talking about y'all. He was talking to the Philippians. The Philippians, Paul writes, that they amply supplied him. That was pleasing to the Lord. What they gave pleased him. It pleased them. Has anybody ever been on the good end of a blessing, where somebody, yeah, amen, that was you. where somebody blessed you and you couldn't bless them back. You were depressed and somebody came and blessed you and you couldn't bless them back. You had no money. You were out of finances. You were struggling and somebody blessed you. And you couldn't bless them back. Do you understand? This pleased God. This pleases God. You couldn't bless them back. What do I do? What do I owe you? Nothing. The Lord put this on my heart. You know, that is a sweet aroma to God. That blesses God. Come on, somebody. This is why the Bible says give in secret. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Give in secret because our Lord will reward us openly. Come on. How about the other way? Have you ever been somebody that blessed somebody that you knew couldn't bless you back? How did that make you feel? Doesn't that feel good? Man, it feels so good to be able to bless somebody that can't bless you back. I know you can't bless me back, but the Lord told me to do this. This blesses the Lord. It blesses him. It is a sweet aroma. You didn't give somebody something because they deserved it. You gave it to them because that's what the Lord told you to do, and you did it to please the Lord. It's better to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. But Paul wasn't talking about. He was talking to the Philippians. This is the message. This is the message. If you're a note taker, this is it. What did we talk about today? This is it. Right? Because you gave when nobody else did. Because you gave consistently. Because you gave when it was no demand. Because you supplied something that was a sweet aroma to the Lord. In other words, it was pleasing to the Lord. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Let me do that again before you clap, because I want it to resonate with this church, because this is the precipice for our year. All right. Because you supplied when nobody else did. Because you supplied, you got involved, you participated when nobody else did. Because you supplied consistently. Because you supplied when there was no demand. Nobody was forcing you. Because you supplied to please the Lord. My God. Come on, somebody. My God. My God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory. Stand to your feet. This is why this will be the best year of our lives. This is why. Father, we thank you for this word. We ask that this word has enriched us, or enriched our heart, enriched our soul, enriched our mind. I pray that this word will create application, that we're just not knowledgeable of this word. Knowledge puffs up. But that we are doers of the word, that we participate, that we supply. Yes, God. And God, as we supply, God, we know that you will supply back into us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into our bosom. Father, I pray right now over your church. This is real church. Hallelujah. That you would meet their needs where they are. God, only you know where the need is. But I hear the Lord say, but supply. I hear the Lord say, supply. Yeah. If you have a need, the Lord is saying, supply. Yeah. Wherever you lack, supply. Whatever it is that you see your weaknesses, supply. And it will be supplied back into you. Father, we thank you for this word. We glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. At this moment, we're still in worship. I would ask you to give, but I already know you got your pocketbooks. I don't got to ask you that, right? Because this is going to be the best year we've ever had. If you have your phones, we changed the text. We changed the text to text. What is it, babe? Give IRL to 73256. If you're streaming online, please write it in the comments. I want you to text to give today from your heart. No demand, no restrictions, no law. Whatever the Lord writes on your heart, I want you to give. And that is to text GIVEIRL to the number 73256. Write it in the comments so somebody can see that. And I want you to give what the Lord places on your heart. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Family, this message is the precipice for the year. And as you get those gifts, if you're somebody that's not text friendly, you can always go to our website. We're still at thekingdomlife.com, and you can donate there. Yes, sir. If there's anybody that needs envelopes, there's some in the back. Don't worry about, write it out to Israel Life. I-S-R-E-A-L. Oh, yeah, it's real. This was a real live band today, wasn't it? Guys, get your hands together for this band. They blessed us tremendously. Fellas, Ashley, oh my gosh. Guys, give them a hand, please. I want them to come back. I would like for them to come back. Give them a hand. And I want to thank God for our very own Marvin, DJ Sounds, DJ Sounds, DJ Sounds. Y'all give him a hand. He's been with us since we've been in the tent, and guess what? He will remain. You ain't got to worry about that. That's... You ain't got to worry about that. We gonna scratch. Amen. When you have that offering, I just want to bless it. And then I'll give the benediction. I'm gonna have some runners in here from now on. Some folks that just, I need about 7 Wallies. I need about 7 Wallies. If you streaming online, everybody was just at the edge of their seat, just. And I'm over here rapping. I'm gonna pray over that gift that you've given to the Lord. This is just one step of why this will be the best year of your life. Don't just, and family, I wanna be plain here. Don't just supply finances. Don't just supply in your health, supply in your marriage, supply in your on the job, supply in your home, supply in your prayer life, supply in, come on. Supply in your worship. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you, we ask that you would bless all of the giving, all of the supplying. We are your suppliers, Lord. We will go. We are participating. We are all in. Like my daughter was in the crib. We in. Because we know that, Lord, no matter if we swing to the left or the right, you're there to rescue us. You will come in and save us. So we're all in with you, Father. We ask that you would bless the giving. You would bless it, God, right now, God. Do with it what you want to do with it, Father. Let make sure that it goes and it blesses where you want it to go. And I pray that it touches our heart as we release this supply off to the Lord. God, we give you glory in our giving. We give you honor in our giving. And we give you praise in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless y'all. Love you. We'll see you guys real soon. Bless you.